Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention from my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Having their stomach pumped.
For sure.
Why? Why are humans like this?
Because we're human.
That's welcome, welcome, welcome to the 25th episode of The Whip Around. It's a quarter of a century of weeks for The Whip Around. Thank you. Anyway, as you might have ascertained from that, what do you even call that thing? A blower? A music blow? What is
I have,
that?
I have
a
never...
A whistle blow? A
do you know, this is something I should have looked up at some point,
blow
and
whistle?
I don't know.
I don't know. What do you call it?
It says siren on the side of it, but
like
I think that might be
a... slide whistle.
It's not a slide whistle.
It's a poor man's jet engine is what
I mean,
it is.
I really genuinely have no idea what this is.
So anyway, based on
I call
that,
it the crazy whistle.
Based on that sound and based on that theory.
And based on that voice.
You've got to know that our resident mad scientist, Dr. Phil LaPorta, is back with us.
Oh, together again and it feels so fart.
And it's inside baseball right there.
Yeah.
And what we've got here is Phil... popping in before
yes.
he sinks back into the maelstrom of science and teaching and magic and violence.
Six
and
or so, well,
darkness.
No, 4 weeks to the semester left, give or take. I don't know about you guys.
What's, and Phil is, he's sort of a self-fondler today. He's handsy.
Worst time to pick up an itch, and thanks for noticing.
Phil's got the chicken dance itch thing going on. But anyway...
feeling good. Jill was in terror. She was like, I'm moving away.
Welcome
I don't want
back.
To catch it.
Welcome back. As Jill buttons up buttons that aren't even there anymore. Welcome back, Phil. Condolences, Jill. I'm sorry.
Phil's
that...
in the house and Jill is ill.
Yeah. So let's jump in. What's got everybody's attention here today? It is, what is this? April
9th.
9th?
Yep.
I knew it. What's got your attention? I know for me, it's the... the raid, there just today, it came out recently that...
teaching all day, I didn't see this. What is this action?
The FBI raided the business headquarters and residence of Trump's personal attorney and Goomba
from
Mario Brothers come to life, Michael Cohen.
Oh, interesting.
The big tough Sopranos lawyer has been... his ass, or his not his
assets
ass.
Assets have been... no, they did not seize his ass.
They grabbed it. They grabbed him by the assets, you guys, and seized all kinds of... ring that fucking bell. Stingy on me. So, yeah, Michael Cohen, all that stuff got grabbed by... They didn't give him a heads up. It was just like with Manafort and his ruddy face.
That's nice. I
Cohen,
guess that's good.
Which is funny because the president had said about the whole Stormy Daniels payoff thing, is that you're going to have to ask my attorney.
Well, I guess they did. Huh?
So Mueller, like, I pictured Schwarzenegger and Predator, like, knock, knock. Like, they went and asked.
Yeah.
So that's what's on my mind.
Oh, I was thinking about the Syrian chemical attack. But also, on my way over, I also saw a child standing outside Rita's Italian Ice while it was snowing, and I thought, well, isn't that a sad sight?
That's commitment.
What was
that's
the first one, Jill?
Oh, the Syrian chemical attack.
Which is an interesting juxtaposition. It's like
really,
a Syrian chemical attack.
But ice cream.
Sad American child in the snow outside Arita's.
Getting their Italian
Yeah, the
ice.
Difference is the building Italian the child ice. Was standing in front of in America is in one piece.
Shouldn't the Italian ice places, like, just on principle, like, there's snow, we're closed. Like, I know it's a business in the house, but
flurrying. It's not like there was, like, feet
it's
of
not
snow.
Sticking,
still, but I feel like if I managed one, first of all, if I managed anything, I'd be like, an excuse to close, I'm taking
well,
it.
Well, so this is what I thought, oh, that's kind of adorable. Like, here's this kid. Literally looked like he was 6 years old. But then I watched as he
alone?
Went. Well, no, I watched then as he was alone, but then I watched, he went to the van that he presumably came from.
Oh, boy.
Wait,
and,
what van?
The door, and he opened the driver's door and gave it to his mom, I presume. And I'm thinking, so this woman was like, you know what, it's cold out, but I really want my ice. Listen, kid, you're my kid. We'll say his name's Jimmy.
That's a theory.
Jimmy, go get mommy some water ice.
Some water ice.
Water ice.
Mm-hmm. And he did. That poor kid. It's like 38 degrees out.
It was Norman Rockwellian for a moment with like this little kid
went,
paying with
yeah,
change to
it went
like
from being real
weird.
Cute.
Any Norman Rockwell painting, I'm just throwing it out there,
it's a little weird.
Would be amazingly improved by the introduction of a van. Just give me a van in any Rockwell painting.
It's just
actually,
like,
any classical
or,
art. Any
yeah.
art. Starry Night, give me a van
you
in
you know,
there.
I'm thinking of like
or
the
water ice.
Or true. Or just like a cup, like a full cup of large water ice.
Like,
with
I'm
the
thinking
thing,
of
the straws.
I was thinking
to the
of
top,
the Rockwell Thanksgiving one with like a big icy cup on the corner of the
there
table.
You go.
But then like FBI surveillance van in the background out the window.
Okay, now you're just going now. You're trying to bring all our stories together.
Let's see what I can do to join everybody today.
For some synergy, I guess, some creative synergy in there.
Well, I got a warm. I'm rusty. I mean,
Yeah. You look rusty.
I feel rusty too.
You look kind of.
It's what do you call it? The semester's been super rough. I miss you guys terribly. I miss being here. I miss you too, listeners, the most. And hi, guys.
www.panderinghosts.com.
But it was the right thing because I've got more students than I've ever had, and it's been a rough group for a couple reasons, but we're getting through it.
I'm picturing like
wow.
I'm actually picturing the Warriors.
I was too.
Yes, I am.
No, it
physics. Can you dig it?
Let me sum it up this way: there is a large group of students in this class. They're fan friggin' tastic. Let's say 80%, and then from the beginning of the semester to now, there has been this other really big group. There's nothing in the middle. There's fantastic. Totally gone, horrible, just lost, and it's bridging that gap.
Van children, van students, little Jimmies,
little Jimmies in the van.
Look, you don't pull it together, you're going to be stuck in that van buying water ice for your mom for the rest of your life, Jimmy. Is that what you want? Study your physics, damn it.
That's the large group. So that's been tough. Okay. And then training's picking up. I don't know. You guys know this. I volunteered to.
Nope.
You didn't. Oh, I'm competing in a tournament.
A punchy kicky.
Yeah, I'm doing the squeezy groundy.
Squeezy groundy punchy kicky.
Squeezy groundy.
Yes.
Squeezy groundy.
Squeezy groundy and then punchy kicky afterwards.
It doesn't
so,
stop in middle school. There's squeezy groundy all through life.
So we're doing that. So yeah, it's the Tiger Schulman's inter-school, but I'm doing it and that's June 3rd. And hey, shout
out.
Wait,
can we go to see this thing?
You can.
I probably won't.
Thanks, Joe. That's the
my
wise
birthday
choice.
Weekend. I'm probably going
to
be
way better
somewhere
things to
else.
Do than watching, way better things to do than get my ass, watch
no.
me get my ass handed.
What
to
is
me?
No, better on a birthday to see some squeezy groundy featuring Phil?
True. Actually, true. We could have shirts made. Some
squeezy
groundy shirts made.
Big sign. Squeezy
groundy
strong.
We can have shirts made, but I was planning on wearing some like midriff mesh.
If you guys all come out to the thing, just promise me that during the kickboxing, just promise me during the kickboxing section that you guys just start singing banana way, banana way. There's like two people.
I say finish him. Finish him.
No, that's not the one I would do, Phil.
Which one?
You had to do the evil capoeira for the. Again,
there
are like three people who are just pumping their fists.
Going, holy shit, they know that movie.
Maybe
and they're doing
a little
bit
of capoeira dance of their own.
Doing the Jenga.
So anyway, that's
my life right now.
Super exciting.
Some fun,
it's
super
fun.
Exciting. I sincerely doubt, though,
that
it is as insightful, as cutting, and as fascination bound.
Or as smooth a segue
as what Jill has got for us, because it's been a little while since we've had this segment, and I have missed it. So I guess the last one was bats. Yeah.
No.
That was just
an
anecdote? A tangent. Yeah.
It's been a really long
moly,
time.
Holy moly! I'm starved.
It's a long while.
Yeah.
Man. Well,
Jill.
Everybody, it is time for us to turn our attention to Jill as she opens our mind in a segment we like to call
Here's the thing. Good Lord.
So what exactly would you say is the thing this time?
Okay. This is something we've touched on a couple times on this show, but I just want to give it a little bit more time because it's something that agitates me quite a bit.
Nice.
And that is, and I think it's appropriate since we have our scientists here today.
Oh dear.
That's you.
No, don't get upset. So, no, I'm not. But people do not seem to grasp, as a society anyway, that there's a difference between sexuality, gender expression, and sex in terms of your sex organs that you possess. Those three things are different things.
Exactly.
That was not a sex organ.
Because, as I mentioned previously, I get very upset that there's not enough unisex things. There are not enough unisex clothes, toys, etc. Because guess what? And it works both ways because I feel that if I like wearing ties and I like menswear, but unfortunately a lot of it is not designed and constructed for
the cut is very different.
Right. And so they don't fit me properly.
So you look like you're in a box.
Right. Kind of thing. So there's that frustration, but there's also the frustration then that immediately there are assumptions made about your sexuality based on your gender expression. And that I don't agree with. And it's worse, I think, for men, because women, at least, there is such a concept of menswear. But for most men, if you say, I want to wear a dress because I think that's stylish, there's not as much of a much of a concept of women's wear for men where it's acceptable, where somebody wouldn't look at a guy and be like, oh, the man, that looks really stylish.
Even yoga pants are pushing it for guys.
Yeah, no, the most of it is like, you look insane. That's generally the thing. Like, that guy is
assumptions then are made about their sexuality, et cetera. And they're all different things. And I'm just sick of people not getting to the point in society where you can be developed enough mentally to say and understand these are three different things. And part of this comes up because there's been ads about whatever race is happening in PA, and there's Mango and somebody else. I forget who the other person is, but
Salsa.
I know. Right?
I have to cop to the fact that I'm not.
I see the commercials, but Mango, I guess, is upset, like, or the people that are pro this guy's Mango
character.
He's one of these people that has an ad out attacking his opponent because his opponent is pro a bathroom bill that basically says that you can use whatever bathroom you identify with.
Folks, just go pee.
Like a relax and just do your
thing
bill.
But this guy's ads are like, it says in the ad, like, boys will be able to use the girls' bathroom. And like, basically, because apparently, you know, all men are predators. That's always the underlying assumption there.
Yeah. If you don't take a machine gun into the bathroom with you, we're already ahead.
Right.
We're already doing great.
So all of this to me is lumped in together, and it just frustrates me. And there's just all these assumptions and assertions that people have made, and enough. Those are three different things. They're all different. They can exist separately. And I'm just, it agitates me. And so basically the main thing, though, is there needs to be more unisex things, because I think the more unisex items and designs and clothes and toys and all that stuff, over time, they help to create a better
acceptance.
Yes.
What are the three things now? I just want to make sure I have them straight in my head.
Gender expression.
Now, you're not saying identity. You're saying expression, which I think is an interesting choice. Maybe we need to be thinking about it that way. Like, your identity is inward. It more has to do with what you're saying is like, look, this is what I am giving out.
Right.
I'm expressing it. And I normally don't think about it that way. And I think I want to change that to the expression versus, you don't need to know what my identity is. That's me.
Right.
That's personal.
Right.
That's in anybody's head.
Right.
It's the express. Okay. So gender expression,
sexuality,
which is entirely
who I'm attracted to.
Right.
And your actual sex. So the organs in which you are born and want to keep, whatever.
So your biology.
Your biology.
Your desire or whatever, and your offering to the world.
Right.
Are three separate things.
Because I'm more so just tired of people saying like, well, you've got those organs, so like that's your gender. And it's like, no, like gender, we made that up. Like, Yes, you're born with this biology, but that doesn't mean that, like we determined what that blue was for boys. Like, we came up with that. Like, baby wasn't born and was like, I need blue.
Right. We don't
I
have
need
a
pink.
It's a blue child. It must be right. a masculine child. Right. You know, this.
Same with fashion.
This
we came
touches,
up with this stuff.
This graze is against one of the most. I got to be honest with you. And I was going to bring it up as part of the deep dive, and I opted not to. And man, this Act One could get intense quickly. But I don't know how aware you guys are of Jordan Peterson. Are you familiar with that name?
I'm not.
That's not a recent name, though, is it?
Oh, it is.
How recent?
I'm not familiar.
He is. He's a Canadian clinical psychologist who just came out with a book. It's a bestseller right now. It's like 12 Rules for Life or whatever.
Okay. I'm not.
It's a very polarizing thing. His followers, who are mostly sort of disaffected young males online,
ugh,
are ferocious.
Really not a good start.
Ferocious right. supporters of him. I mean, it's like any. It's almost like a Taylor Swift response. If you don't like this guy, or if you're critical, it is a very go. I dare you. Go on Twitter.
Are they called content. Are they called the pedos? The pedos.
That is Jill Yapsuga. No, but he is a polarizing figure that I have so many problems with. I just do.
So what is
a lot of, well, I'm going to say a lot okay. of what he's talking about, and I'm not saying it's all bad, but a lot of what he talks about is a lot of problems in society are born from people not willing to pick themselves up and admit that the problems are their own. You got to take responsibility for yourself.
So everything is your own fault.
Well,
nothing comes from outside.
That's where it starts with this. It's for you, man. But then it tends to cross into a lot of talk about, and don't be confused by those people that are out there that'll hold on now. So there's people out there that'll tell you need to be more feminine if you're a man, or that you need to be more masculine. If you know, the man and the woman, there is no other gender.
Yeah.
That's who you are. Be who you are. Men are needing to be strong. Women, you've got to stop. You know, women wear makeup at work to use their attractiveness to get ahead, and that's their style.
Was this the guy we saw
they
on
have
YouTube
to be,
that time that
yes.
you showed us? Oh my God, that guy is horrible.
Have, but and he also he
oh
has,
wait oh this was the dating
that,
guy.
Yeah.
No.
Because it sounds similar because it's
it
that like
yeah.
sort of
Man's
a okay
rights.
You have a good principle and then you
Men's
veer
rights.
Off but because you started someplace good, yes. it makes
you
people.
So I will
exactly.
tell you this right now. I am sure in our listenership, any further that I go, there will be an angry split. But to Jill's point, this is the reason I bring it up. Is that is a wellspring of heated discussion in our country and culture in the West right now, which is, hey, you know, can people just be who they want to be and we can just get over it and accept people for who they say they are, which I subscribe to, or is it going to be this thing where people become prescriptive about here are your options, there are two, you conform to that or you're some kind of a problem.
Right.
Now, I'm simplifying his
sure.
his, but I
sure.
swear to you, it ain't that. I'm not mischaracterizing it. And it's not just this person, but I feel like that is a major. We could do an episode
Absolutely.
Entirely on this here.
I think we should. I have a couple of people in mind I could think that we'd be great to talk to. But I there's one thing, though. Yeah, I agree with you in the whole we just need to get over it and let people be what they are. But at the same time, even though we need to sort of get over it and accept it. At the same time, until it's universally accepted, we have to be cognizant of the fact that there are people who are being discriminated against by people like that, and that we do need to be active in helping those people get to that point.
You're saying being people being discriminated against by those who would say, I don't care what you
there's two
claim
options.
To be.
Yeah,
right, okay.
you do your. You know,
well, that's just it, isn't
well, I mean,
it? It's the
I'm
transgender
saying, yeah.
troop ban and,
well,
and people
all of
saying,
that
like.
Bullshit. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I think now, let me say one other thing, and then I'll just sort of step off the floor.
Because Jill's absolutely right.
It
and,
starts.
Know.
For me, it starts as I'm shopping for my daughter in clothes. Now, I realize that a lot of people say this is innocuous, but it's interesting the way that it is I don't know what the term is. It's sort of a groupthink that begins. It's, look, these are the things for girls. There are pink things.
You said, yeah.
And the clothes. Yeah. This is pink. This is butterflies. There's even dragonflies, ladybugs, all that stuff. girl.
Yeah.
And you go and find it in the girls' department if you're shopping on, like, Amazon or in the store.
Anywhere.
Or boys. Yeah, that's construction equipment and trucks and dinosaurs and science and fun and fireworks and any color that's not pink or lavender.
I would like
all that is boy.
And well, they've done studies on it that they do. The toys that are kind of labeled as for boys are ones that actually encourage problem-solving skills and critical thinking skills. And the ones for girls do not. They kind of reinforce that nurturing, you're supposed to be a mommy.
Yeah, so
and
like, well, that's it.
And I would like to point out that that's why I always, well, Caroline and I, whenever we buy Edie a birthday gift or Christmas, we're always aiming science and creative toys like that because we know she's into it to begin with.
Well, yeah.
And so we never want to conform to that.
She has a mix of interests.
And she does.
And I feel like
and
if
I love
she had
that.
Been born a male because of the fact that we're not like, stop using that. That's for girls or boys. It would be the same idea. She would like sparkly, shiny things if she were a boy and guns and construction and, you know. But it's not even just about my kid. I just agree with you that issue.
It comes early. Very
it's a
early.
Symptom of a society that is looking at itself in the mirror and having issues
with its own
realizing
identity?
Our society is the Statue of Liberty. We don't know what's under there.
Well, it's just like a friend of mine.
She's naked under that toga.
Her son is a toddler, and he wanted his nails painted, and so she painted his nails. And her in-laws were like, "What?" Like they like could not understand why she would allow him to paint his nails. And she's like, "Who cares? Like he wanted his nails painted. Like who?" cares. This kid is like 4 years old.
Which is
let him have painted nails.
And
like
that's
how
their programming. That's their.
But that's what happens. Is it? That's what we pass along, and it's been so ingrained that sometimes I'll catch myself thinking. You know what I mean? Like it's so ingrained. You have to actively kind of fight against it, and it can be really, really tough. But
you know,
it all of this frustrates me.
Do you know Kevin Hart, the comedian? Kevin,
I
mean,
most
people
do. Love him.
He has a whole routine where he talks about how he does not. He will not let his son grow up gay. I remember he said he smacked something out of his hand one or did. Stop that. That's gay. He's like, look, I don't care if he's gay, but if I can do anything as a parent to prevent it, I will. I think it's this idea, and I feel like it's...
Yeah,
it's,
that was like years ago, right?
It was.
That was a long
older,
time ago.
I was
going to
say,
grown,
I feel like
a,
he doesn't...
As a comedian.
But I feel like that's just it, right? It's this it's this moldable, hot heat flashpoint in our culture. And I'm curious, and I think it matters our attitudes because I think eventually it's going to solidify more.
Yeah.
Right now it's pretty flexible where people are listening or willing to change or adapt.
Well,
soon I feel like that moment might pass.
Well, I think the good thing is a lot of the people who are rigid against it are old and they're going to die.
Oh,
it's not just older people though.
I'm here to
tell
help.
You, it's not. It's there's a lot of younger people who also think don't grasp it or
percentage wise,
like
Jill,
it.
The baby boomer generation
is
far more hostile.
But Jill's right. I would say that. I mean,
I've
I'm
lost
curious.
Friends with this argument, so that's why I'm saying I know that there are younger people for whom this is.
I agree.
I'm just saying statistically, every study shows that the older you are, the more likely you are.
I'm curious,
but
though, but we teach in very different places. I don't see that nearly as much in my students.
See what exactly? The hostility?
The hostility, the intolerance
of it. Do you
see
much
of
the attitude?
Jill teaches at a much more conservative.
I don't know that I see it in my students.
I'm wondering if you do.
But people that
do you?
Oh, our age group.
Do either of you?
My age, yeah.
Okay.
But Phil, do you see it in your teaching science in some way?
Not really. I mean, occasionally you end up with a douchebag student who makes a completely insensitive joke and I shut that down, but not like, you know, habitually or anything like that. Does
okay.
It?
Well, just
again, not where I teach. I'm sure that if I taught in, you know,
UCLA or something.
Well, no, I was going to say in like the, you know, dead center of the country, you
know.
Well, no,
I was talking about someone in your classroom who is in some way openly something. I don't know why
it would
come up necessarily.
No, absolutely. Actually, we have one transgender physics major, and there's another student I had a couple years back has been undergoing the transition. Ashley's fully transitioned now at this point.
Right, but I'm saying the sort of blasé thing is great because it's, you know, who cares? But my point is, regardless of the institution, I would kind of hope it shouldn't be the front of anyone's mind during a class, I guess is my point.
No, it's not. Nobody ever...
Unless it's a negative, in which case it can be squashed, you know.
Which is the only time it ever really has to come up. I'm curious, Jill, again, you seeing all that stereotyping, I wonder how... I mean, I see it maybe once a semester, somebody makes a smart-ass remark that I shut down, maybe.
I don't really
have it at all, to be honest. I don't have anybody say anything.
I did occasionally when I was teaching at the same place where Jill teaches. Once in a while, there would be something.
Which, for the record, I'm at a public school well, public university, state school, university. You guys are at
a private religious
Catholic,
based.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I was curious.
There was much more a sense of the ones that I had spoken to where it ever came up at all. And it was a little, was just that, like, is this going to be okay for this paper or this thing?
Right.
You know, it wasn't. Anyway.
Yeah.
My point being, wrapping it up, is that I just want the day to come when there are not girl boy sections at the store, certainly regarding toys, and that there's a larger selection for everybody, and that certainly that for men who want to wear a skirt, a kilt, which somehow kilts are acceptable. Somehow we've gotten to the point where we're like, kilt's cool, man.
Oh, because you can point somehow, and say it's that country.
Right. And then, but somehow if a guy was like, yeah, but I want to wear like this actual, like this maxi dress, somebody's going to be like, whoa, what? Like, I just want us to get to the point where people can just freaking get over it and be like, okay, cool, man. That's, you got style. That's what all that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Izzard, if you're out there listening.
Izzard?
Eddie Izzard. What did I just? Yeah.
Right in front of Jill.
Eddie Izzard, if you're
She's
out there.
A big
there,
fan.
I know. If you're out there listening, we need more action transvestites like you.
He said that his last name is, like, Izzard.
Ah! Whatever.
You had to do that, didn't you?
Well, I watched. He said it.
The whole planet says Izzard. So I have a point, too, even though it's wrong.
He said he doesn't care.
But all you right. know what this has been?
Here's the thing.
I segued.
Good job, Phil. Good Lord.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. So before we take our first break here, and it's one of my favorites, and you're going to see why when we take the break, and then we're going to come back, and you're going to be like, that's so funny. And then you're going to rewind. You're going to listen to the break again, and I don't blame you. But Phil is absolutely here, and we have so much to talk about with him.
Yeah, we need to close up a bunch of things before the end of the first act.
Yeah, that too. Science is afoot, and we have some really fun science to foot right at Phil during our deep dive, which is all about science and science and science. So definitely stick around for that. But to Phil's point, first, we have contest business. We've got like a big fulcrum giveaway contesty episode next week. When Ward is back, by the way, Jill and I will be talking to Ward again. I think what I'll do at the end of the show is I will reread Ward's 5 trivia questions for you on this episode. So Ward had the 5 trivia questions when he was on the show about Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery. If you answer one of those questions correct, nobody before you answered that particular one
correctly.
No, oh, you're right. It'll never
Ring
make
the
it.
Bell.
It'll never make it.
Thanks, Jill. It'll never make it. Edit here.
Answer those correctly, then you, if no one has answered it correctly before you, you will get a $25 gift card to the Bethlehem House Art Gallery. Also, if you send in your questions about art, the art world, running a gallery, being in a gallery, whatever, to Ward, you can send it through our email, by the way. You might win yourself a Bethlehem House pint glass. Which are actually not for sale at the gallery.
No, you can't get them anywhere.
That's a bit of a rarity.
Yeah.
So, yes, send your answers to those questions to thewhiparound@gmail.com.
And on a Facebook page that we have some photos too of all the awesome stuff that you can purchase with your gift card at the Bethlehem House Gallery.
And you should just go there because it is awesome.
I said questions to those answers.
Yes, you did, but I wasn't going to.
What is happening? I'm a very little sleep.
You're flustered because I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just it's the tie. And the nipples, yes. Thank you, Phil. Anyway, I will list those questions at the end of the episode, so stick with us. You can win some really sweet gift card action by answering some interesting questions about the Bethlehem House Art Gallery. And Phil's here to talk about our other contest. You're going to want to perk your ears.
We're
up
almost there.
Perk up those ears.
They haven't given it away yet. And since they haven't given it away on their 50th episode, we're not giving ours away. We're giving you an extra week to do this. Here's what we need from you.
Who's
if you want to win.
What?
Oh.
Who's they?
Oh, our buddies at Sex and Violence, Gabe and Ryan. They have not yet given away their poster by Tyler Martis, who, and this poster, we should put a picture of the poster up. It is phenomenal. You want this on your wall. It is beautiful.
It'll be up again.
And all we need you to do is review us on iTunes, review them on iTunes. We need you to review both of us. If you review both of us, put your name in a hat. If you've already done it, you're already in, and you didn't even have to do anything, and we thank you for it. And if you do that, you'll be entered to win this amazing poster. And check out T. Martis on Instagram. for some phenomenal artwork, but you can win that custom Warriors poster in celebration of the guys over at Sex and Violence. They gave us one, and thanks again for giving us one to give
away. And let's not mix it, and that we mean review. So let us know what you actually think.
And while you're there, rate us too. What the hell? But review specifically.
There was a little bit of confusion before.
But we're okay, and we got it sorted out.
Yeah.
The internet's a confusing place.
Yeah, it's a lot of tubes. There's so many tubes.
It's a topsy-turvy, twisty, horrid place.
Numbers.
So if you rated and didn't review, it's very simple. All you need to do,
green things.
Pay no attention to these people. If you already rated us, just go back in and type out. Give us your thoughts. It could be a very short review, but we need to see your ID on there.
We'll be happy with emojis.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's not true.
Not poop emoji.
Yeah.
And we're going to announce the winners on the 16th when we record, so...
You'll hear
you
about
it.
You
got to do it by the 16th.
So that's you are running out of time. This is your last chance,
for
folks.
For both contests.
Both of them. It's going to be a winnerful podcast.
It's going to be like the game show episode, but with lots
actual
of people
giveaways.
Listening this time. You're going to love it. It's awesome. Get a poster. Get some glasses. Get some gift cards. And just buy this whole town up, y'all.
We'll be right back.
In your face.
In your ears.
Hi, I'm the Whip Around's very own Dave DiIorio. Our greatest responsibility is to serve the podcasting communities.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve the podcasting communities.
To serve the podcasting communities.
To serve the podcasting communities.
Whether our listeners are commuting, cooking, running, or getting their ASMR fix,
we are extremely proud of the quality, twisted, and off-kilter comedy
the Whip Around produces. But we are concerned
about the cheap, low-effort, simple-minded, obvious humor that is plagging
other podcasts.
The sharing of weak-ass other podcasts has become all too common on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. More alarming,
some listeners promote these same lazy jokes without listening to us first.
Unfortunately, some podcasts aren't up to the creativity,
dedication, and commitment that the Whip Around is known for.
They simply want your downloads and are only offering the same old dreck in exchange. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 We at the Whip Around will always do what's right for you.
What is right for you?
What's right for you?
What's right for you?
You can count on us and only us to keep you entertained.
Remember to download every week
and rate us on iTunes.
Your friends,
family,
and future generations are counting on you
to make smart podcasting decisions. Thank you.
Before Jill and myself sits a scientist, ladies and gentlemen, a brilliant mind, an eccentric but organized thinker, who goes far deeper into the physical realities of our world than most of us are qualified to consider while not on the toilet.
Fair.
Deep thinking moments in the toilet. Phil has deep thinking toilet moments every day, all the time.
I'm on the toilet a lot.
Debunks pop culture, sci-fi movies at will and often, and be careful. Don't lay pseudoscience in front of this man and expect him not to get agitated.
Go, I'll kill someone.
He goes Bruce Banner when he is under duress, this man before us, this hulk of science, and probably more now than at any point in our history, not the Whip Around's history, I mean like humanity history, we've got this situation where we have science, this high-powered institutions and making strides and discoveries and progress in space and in the ocean and in the molecules and all that shit. And simultaneously, a public that is so plugged into spheres of information where misinformation, misinterpretation, whether willful or accidental, pollutes. I'm going to use the word pollutes. A lot of our understanding of where science is or where science is aiming. Our understanding as the public is full. We have a lot of information in the bucket, but so much of it is astray, a field of where science really is, even of what the goals might be. So we've got the truth is, oh boy, the truth does seem to be
out there
as science goes. But we're looking often through a thick fog where some of the information is accurate, Much of it is partially true, and lots of it is full-blown wrong and leading us astray. Now, Phil, am I overstating that, do you think, as I lay that in front of you?
No, there's a lot of problems with pop culture science, and today of all days to record this is perfect, because I was talking about in class today, I had some time to go over just a little bit of free time, and I was like, all right, guys, what do you want to know about this topic? And they just got to ask all those questions that were associated with things that they had heard in the news, and so we talked about things like the Chelyabinsk meteorite from 3 years ago that blew up over Russia, and all those different things. And it's just, you're right. I think the problem lies with the fact that there's so much information out there and not enough time to carefully parse it.
Okay.
I think that's part of it. And I actually am willing to say, and I think that's been said before by many people. I'm sure it has been. I think another problem with science misunderstanding is also that... Misunderstanding of science, yeah. Is that we've gotten so advanced as a species that the line between what we can do and what we can't do is always being pushed further and further down the road, such that when people hear something, no matter how fantastic it may be, they're like, well, maybe we can do that now.
So do you think that sensationalism is fueling the misunderstanding as much as or more than, I don't know, ignorance? Is it something where we're just eager to believe? Yeah, why not?
I think that they probably play an equal role, but if anybody is going to take the lion's share of the blame, I think sensationalism, because it sells. And in the 24-hour news cycle, you got to catch attention with things that sound somewhat ridiculous sometimes or are at least borderline startling?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to open this to Jill. She's media savvy, probably media savvy of any of us. Do you find that when you see startling headlines or like, you know, new, you know, science claims this or, you know, well, on this, I remember there was one that was out there for a while that was like, oh, on this day of the year, because of Venus passing near Earth or something, everyone's going to be a little bit weightless or a little bit lighter for a brief spell. Do you find that you're able to sort of recognize, okay, I'm seeing some of this is fake, or do you feel adrift in this sea of, I don't know what to believe when it comes to the scientific claims that are?
I usually believe it because I'm watching stuff that I choose to watch news that
now,
has reputation.
Ancient Aliens is not news. Are we
maybe
to
not to you, but to me, I didn't realize that these were possibilities. But no.
Aliens?
No,
Dave, they're right behind you.
I watched that show for pure entertainment. Okay. But the news sort, but the and the hair
that
and
is
the
entertainment.
Yes.
Oh my god!
So no, I watch. I choose to watch news that's known for being vetted. But I agree that, you know, there's a story that I think you're going to bring up that was just in the news, and the way it was presented was misleading. And
this was our jumping off point.
And I did not catch it until like a day later when I read an article that was correcting it, saying, no, 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 this is not the case. This is the case. And yep. I go, oh, okay, well, yeah. Now that I think about how it was phrased, it was misleading.
Yeah.
They weren't technically incorrect in what they said, but it was misleading the way that it was presented.
Yeah. Well, let me lay some of this out. Can I just so that we're all, including the listeners, are up to speed with some of what we're talking about, and then I'll yield a lot of the floor to you, Phil, to be talking of this through.
Ask it away. Go ahead.
One of the most startling claims, and this is what we're circling around as Jill, Phil, and I are talking, in pop science, I'll leave it at that for now, at the pop science level, is this claim that's popped up in a bunch of sites with the same story about some space travel and various level of Spider-Man-esque DNA shifts, mutations, genetic changes to an astronaut after he returned from his, what was it, a year sojourn?
It was a long time. I forget
stars.
What the time was.
It was at least a year.
It was, yeah. He
and
was
this,
out there for a while.
Yeah, and it would seem that many, as far as they're understanding it, and I'm choosing my words very carefully here, that people are understanding that we had a pair of identical twins.
Yes,
Kelly
Scott,
twins.
The Kelly twins. Scott, who went up.
What? Let me try this first. Let me see if I can get it.
He's going to back into it,
right,
Phil.
So one went up. Who went up?
Scott.
Scott goes up. Jimmy?
Mark.
Mark.
Gabby Gifford's husband.
All right. Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy stays down.
Otherwise known as Mark.
Mm-hmm. A.K.A.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Sure.
So Charlie goes up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jimmy stays down. And after that year in space, right? Charlie comes down and not really twins anymore. There was this idea, there was some DNA funny business
right.
in space. And here is where the articles begin to leap in different directions. And maybe I'll say this, that headlines play a big part in this. But
yeah.
So, Phil, how wrong is the understanding right. that someone might have who said, did you know what I just heard? They were twins. One went to space. He came back.
And 7% of his DNA is different.
Right. There you go. And that's the thing.
How
and which,
wrong?
What Jill said and what you said combined is kind of part of it because
with
the
our
headline,
powers combined, we are wrong about science.
About news.
Captain Misinformation.
So it was in the headline was 7% of astronaut DNA changes. And you look at that and that's like, whoa, what happened? How does your DNA change? And immediately I'm like, no.
Well, okay. But and this before is, you launch, on a scale of to what the fuck, how wrong is that claim that you just stated?
What the fuck?
Okay. So we're at,
so
okay.
we're at about
we're
that
there.
Level.
Okay.
Just so we're clear. Because as soon as I read it, I'm like, no, being in space will not change your genome. Now, to be clear, there are, of course, changes that happen, right? Now, when you're up there, I mean...
Space menopause.
What?
Like space menopause.
Cool flashes.
Yeah, exactly. It's all backwards from what you have right. on Earth, right? Right? In spite of being up there, it's 7% of the expression of his genes.
Which is what? Come on.
Like
your genes tell
polish.
You what to do. Your genes tell yeah. you your genes tell you
his
what to do.
Outward expression, like Bill said. Yeah. It's his DNA's identity.
He came back taller.
Well, we all come back taller. Don't your bones sort
well, again,
of separate?
Again, but isn't that the expression of your genes? Your
not
height?
My genes.
Isn't your height coded in there?
I don't know.
It is. So, I mean, the point...
Well, now, wait a second. My height is in the genes. Is that the expression?
The expression. Yeah, the expression.
Oh, boy.
See what I mean?
It's confusing.
Right? Yeah. Then there were some other little changes.
Is there a
changes.
Headline that can tell me all this in one shot?
No, that's the problem.
I need a flowchart.
And also, the other thing about that article was the headline was bad. The article made it clear that that wasn't what it was, but that's not going to get you clicks. That's not going to get you readers.
Exactly.
Right? So, the headline is what the fuck. The article was... Yeah, that's stupid, the way you said it.
Which usually, just to be clear, the headline is not usually written even by the person who wrote the article. So who knows what their
yeah.
thought might have been.
And most of these articles, and this is something I'd stress to students as many times as I can, is take a look at the author of the article and see if they're qualified to write on science. Because mm-hmm. aside about the ancient aliens guy, he has his master's, I think, in something like physical science. Or not physical science, exercise
science. The
no,
physical
exercise
science of ancient aliens.
No, exercise science or something like phys ed is like his specialty. Like, I kid
aliens.
You not.
Ancient aliens.
So
we're
I always say, yeah, they were just swole aliens.
That's right. that's why there's no evidence. They were so much muscle.
That is Dave's greatest. That is Dave's greatest fear. It's like
muscle bound aliens
picked on by a swole alien. So yeah, I mean it's. There were certain changes, and this is the other thing about being in the nothingness out there, not on the planet, mm-hmm. right? Is
can't believe you didn't say in space.
Well,
he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You see, because you go out there and there isn't an atmosphere protecting you, so you're getting more radiation. But
right.
any kind of radiation can cause mutations in your DNA, so you can cause mutations, and it will be caused. Then they will be caused at a higher rate by being. Out there, in spite of the fact that, in spite of the fact that you know his there were some changes to his gut bacteria. Apparently, that changed.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Was it filled with alien bacteria?
No, it's just changed a little bit.
Was it brand new alien bacteria, or was it
ancient alien?
Can I say something else here?
Please.
It is interesting that the truth is unspooling, and it is interesting in its own way. So much less fascinating than the false claim.
Well,
it's
sensational.
Yeah.
We want to believe that things like going out there beyond the protective ionosphere will expose us to radiation, and we're going to come back. And
this is Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
going to come back with
especially
powers and stuff. You want that.
But that's what I'm saying. You know the saying that, a lie can get, halfway around the world before the truth can get its pants on or something?
I like
that.
I think, yeah, I've heard
sure.
that.
Sure.
I'll buy that.
Let's just say I thought of it. But it's interesting, too, that the sensationalism can, get you out of your seat and the truth will lay you flat on the desk asleep. Like, it just will lead your head on the desk.
Well, I mean, you can read the papers, and we'll put the links in the show notes.
But will they?
Well,
because
I hope
it's not as thrilling.
It isn't, but if, I mean,
the
there's
truth
some
will
really,
set you napping.
It's true. Listen, to read a scientific paper, and this is part of the problem too, and I know this, to read a scientific paper is a grueling thing. It'll take me 40 minutes to read a 5-page scientific paper sometimes, right? Which is so funny because I'll pick up a regular book and I'll read a 200-page book in an afternoon. I'm like, oh, I read fast. I forgot.
Quick.
I read quickly. Damn you, bastard. I got me back. 1-1. Those of you keeping score, jerk. Stop it, Desi. So they're focusing on different parts of the DNA, and there are some changes. And I just want to... This may be boring. Edit here. An investigation focused on telomeres. Those are the cap ends of the chromosomes, and they decrease in length as a person ages. Scott, the one who went up to the ISS, telomeres significantly increased in average length while he was out there. Post-flight measurements show that they shortened within 48 hours of landing and stabilized to pre-flight levels.
So what? When they're, like, longer, is that when he's taller? Like, I don't,
this
what
is
that
telomeres.
Mean?
This is on the cellular level. So what we're looking at telomeres.
What does that mean?
The end caps of your DNA.
No, I get that. But, like, them being longer really doesn't affect anything.
No, it doesn't.
So then why even put in the paper?
Because it's a scientific finding. Because it's a scientific finding. We have to report on all these things no matter how mundane they are, because you never know when they're going to help us later on. And that's a wonderful thing about science that happens out there, because if you look at science, inspection of the results sometimes leads to really different things that you weren't inspecting.
Okay,
expecting.
Can I
yes, please.
Whip something your way.
Whip it away.
Then. Is it fair to say,
sure,
in your scientific opinion, or Jill, in your ancient alien opinion, that a large part of the reason for a misunderstanding of scientific either discoveries or progress, because a lot of times what we're hearing about these articles are scientists are currently examining XYZ, like the superstructures on the fararaway planet that someone that it got
they,
runaway
they
story.
It,
they were like, oh, there might be planets that have alien life that built giant
It might
structures,
be a Dyson sphere around the star.
All that shit,
yeah.
Right? That they're, all of that was really predicated on, okay, we're looking at this right now. Which then gets like, you know what they found?
Well,
so now hold on.
Yeah.
Is it then fair to say that a large part of the reason why the sensational stuff, which is also in part or wholly wrong, is because that stuff is fun, whereas the nitty-gritty bit-by-bit science is, no offense intended.
No, it's all good.
Dull.
Yeah.
And sort of boring to follow. And so people with short attention spans or who are spoiled won't investigate. They grab the exciting part and never bother vetting.
Part and parcel, yes. Part and parcel to that is sure. The possibility of what it might be, ancient aliens, is far more exciting and interesting than usually what it turns out to be. A whole lot of nothing, right? Like the Dyson sphere you mentioned, right? They're like, oh, there's a superstructure because the star is getting dimmer and brighter as if something is regularly passing in front of it. And maybe some alien civilization, they built a thing, big thing around the star. No, just some gas or shit in the way. Interstellar schmutz, basically, is
ancient
what's happening.
Ancient alien shit.
Ancient alien schmutz. So, I mean, it's much more exciting. And I think the other part of it, though, is that part of the scientific process is we put these things out there because we have to. Because when you publish a scientific paper, you're expected to put it out there and say, okay, go ahead, prove this.
Okay.
So then...
I think there are two parts to that, like, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so it sounds like they do equal a bit of yes to my question.
Well, yes to your question, but there was another part of it that I had to add on.
No, which I'm fine. Which I'm fine.
He's
not
a
question.
He
yes.
can't let it go. He's
yes
got
to your,
add in
right.
yes,
extra yes bits. To your statement plus extra.
So what you're saying is there are ancient aliens. They're living in superstructures
and
that are sending out
for
DNA alteration rays to alter the structure of twins and capture Dave.
Exactly.
Is that about some what you're talking about?
What you said, all of the reverse, yes, good.
All right, but can we now dig into this idea that, because, all right, each one of us prior to this episode were like, look, we've got Phil, we want to talk scientific questions and pepper him with
and,
all of this stuff.
And can I say that, you know, it is the truth in what you discover sometimes is super boring. But there are weird things that happen in science and strange experiments that on the surface, like, what the hell are they doing?
Which is kind of what
Which is the fun part of it.
What we're about to get to, because well, effectively, I don't know if this was subconscious or not, we ended up all kind of, you know, talking about, thinking about, look, is there anything that's jazzed up inside? Yeah. And the answer is yes. So that's kind of what this whole next section is all about focusing on. Each one of us brought, we will all discuss all of them, of course, but Phil is going to be especially under the microscope, the electron microscope.
You know, that's just a different type of microscope, right?
It's not, yeah, but it sounds...
We know,
that,
Phil.
It's not that fancy. It's not...
I wonder how much of this I'm going to have to cut. So we all brought a thing. We're all going to talk about a thing. And it's all the interesting science shit. And
hopefully I'm useful.
So
go. Who wants to go?
Phil, I think you should go first. Let's start by giving you some freedom here. So genuinely, Phil, what is the thing that you brought that is interesting at the this is actual science to you?
Right.
What's the thing that got you interested that you know is real?
Because it was so creepy. And again, we were talking about the twin study from the International Space Station.
Frankie and Jimmy, yes.
Frankie and Jimmy, yeah. I was thinking about other things that had happened, like in the ISS. And so I found a fantastic study, because sometimes I was thinking about the radiation out, you know, out there at the space station. And here it is. This is one of those ones where you think to yourself, man, why can't we just simulate this? NASA brought out some human cadavers.
Yeah. Dead people?
Yes. Did you want to talk
were
about
they really dead? Are they going to reanimate them in space?
The creepiest.
It's like Frankenstein, but at the space level. It's like, get them
what is that, Jason X or something like that?
I think
it's,
so. Yeah. It's with a silvery mask.
It's
Jason
10. Jason
what?
X.
Oh, I know. I think
Jason
it's X.
Really?
Yeah.
I just called Jason in
space. Okay, Brian, we need you.
Let's just call it Jason. Jason Takes the Universe.
Yes.
Not better than Muppets Take Manhattan.
Of course it's not.
No.
Hashtag controversy.
Okay. That's a fight nobody wants to take. So instead of simulating human body, they just sent cadavers up there and parts of cadavers. And I got to post this one. There is the picture of the phantom torso on the International Space Station. And it is basically just a human torso wrapped up, covered in like a gimp mask with tubes coming out of it.
It does look sort of like a Mortal Kombat character, like mid-fatality.
A little bit.
That was a ninja that somehow lost. Yeah. And
it's labeled Phantom Torso. There's like a little label on it. In case you were walking through the ISS at night.
Who's this guy? Oh, whew.
I would.
Just the Phantom
Torso. I would shit my pants and hit the airlock to get away if I woke up in the middle of the night and that was floating towards me.
Okay.
But it's not a real torso.
Right.
What?
That one's not a real torso.
Well,
it's got like bits and pieces, right?
No,
it's
doesn't. I thought that the phantom torso is just a
the
simulated...
phantom torso. This one's creepy, but they did send other ones. But no, she's right. The phantom. I'm just saying this one
but
looks
it's like,
the creepiest.
So it's all, but it's simulated to
that one's
be...
simulated. But
I thought one had like
this
a
one has sensors
like
a, in it.
Yes.
No, I know, but they wanted to get sensors inside human pieces. I thought some of them have pieces of human.
Well,
in
that was
there.
The thing. The phantom torso was simulated, but they did send up cadavers with sensors in them. Because remember what I said about radiation and the twins, right?
Right.
Well, it's one thing to simulate and send, you know, a thing up there and be like, oh, well, it kind of passes through this tissue. Maybe it'll hurt a human. Well, now we put the sensor in an actual deceased human, send it up there and
see what shit gets fucked up.
Basically see how bad it is.
There's
for
no
humans.
Other way to really do it. Right?
No. Well, there's no way to do it that well. And
unless
so sometimes
you send
you've
a
gotta
living
do,
human with
which we do.
In its
but then
bones.
They have sensors jammed in, you know. All the way up,
all the fun,
all
spots.
The way up to Uranus, basically.
You get nothing.
I don't care.
I don't think the editor's going to help you on that.
But then they also sent you the human cadavers. This was just one of those moments where it's like, you couldn't use a crash dummy? No, they sent cadavers just to be basically re-entry crashed to see what the forces in the body were.
That's a crash test.
That's a crash
the top
test
of the class.
You know what? I tell you right now, if I donate my body to science, I want to be like crash test dummy for.
Isn't that sad that you don't get to make the choice?
I know.
So like somebody's grandma gets to be like in outer space and then crash down into Earth, whereas we'll be like, just like tested like you know cosmetics.
Yeah,
to
I was
see,
gonna
prolonged
say
prolonged exposure to rouge.
I mean, I want to have my cadaver be inspirational.
All I want for Christmas is to crash to Earth. Don't worry, I'm dead.
But that was such a weird one, and I got to put that picture up because the Phantom Torso creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It is terrifying.
Is it all right to pepper you with questions?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me about this.
Now, here's something for you.
Please.
To your knowledge, what is the – is there are there legal issues? Have they been stopped, as science, even, whether it's this or something else? Where have you found that science has butted up against what is allowed as far as research goes?
Well, I can say that
apart from back in the day. I mean,
modern stuff. I can tell you this, that, you know, the science is not like shanking people on the street and putting them in the shuttle or anything like that, right? That's not the way we're doing it. Any of these
it will be if I'm president.
We hope. I mean, listen.
I'm a one issue voter and that's the issue.
When you say shanking, do you mean stabbing or do you mean pulling their pants down?
Pulling their pants
what?
Down? That's is that what a slang
called,
thing?
That's what we called shanking.
Really? Oh, my God.
Kids. What prison did you go to high school in? Oh, my God.
That was middle school.
Holy shit. Wow. Okay.
So people will be like, I'm going to shank that guy? And you're like, eh.
I would have run the fuck away. Boy. I grew up in a much tougher town, apparently.
Oh, my God. Shanking meant. Because we had pantsing. It was just
that was pantsing.
So
not
at some
shanking.
Point, somebody in your middle school was like, I don't want to call it pants anymore. It's not scary enough.
Wow. I mean no, stabbing so, people.
Although it would be fun to think of science pulling someone's pants down and dragging them by the ankles with their knobbly knees as they drag them into the van.
And put them and crash them.
And that's what I want going on in the background of all the Van Gogh pictures. No longer is it just a van. I want it to be a van that someone is abducting a quote-unquote shanked victim.
That's in the background of my Rockwell painting.
There you go.
But, you know, they get the bodies because they're all donated to science.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not an ethical issue.
They can do whatever they want.
Pretty much.
I mean, not launch them, like, into traffic or anything fun as it would be. But there are no restrictions as far as...
As far as I know, if you donate your body to science and there is a review board that is like, okay, just don't be a dick with it.
What are you doing with this one? We just slap it all day.
I wish I was kidding.
We
but
just slap there, the shit
there
out
is
of
an
this.
Ethics review board for and every university has one where if you're going to do research with any kind of human subject,
this one we just
living
put
or
candy
deceased.
In its mouth.
Oh God, that's fucked up. it's my candy bowl. Would right. you like a would you like
it's
a word there's
and Ike. This one we just yell at. This one we yell at in French.
So I mean,
that's a crime.
So you can't do things like that, right? There's limits to like that. Like, you must be going towards something, not just fucking around with a corpse.
That's a bummer,
right? The hot button ethical issue tends to be in science, where you get the most ethics butt up against what you want to do with an experiment, tends to be stem cells that come from non-developed human embryos. Tends to be where you get the most issue.
Don't step on what I want to ask about.
Well, so here's my question. Why don't we send just average fools like Sean and I into space? Like, there's all these people that have volunteered to go to Mars. Mm-hmm. And for the Mars One thing, they're like, I want to go to Mars. I don't want to ever come back.
I wish you asked my permission before you quote me, Jill.
I just feel like that would be helpful because so far, if the plan is that at some point, if we mess up our planet too much, which is going to happen, but we don't know when, it could be
tomorrow.
Got quite a while. We hope, right?
Yeah.
But my point being, you know, if that's kind of the plan is that we get to a point where we can actually leave,
sure,
and live somewhere else. You're not going to be able to train an entire population to, like, handle the rigors that astronauts go through. So my question is, why can't we just start shooting these people up there now, see how they handle it?
Because we don't want an army of mutant idiots waiting for us on Mars, right?
Well, they're not going to Mars right now. I'm just saying, why can't we just send some people up there? Check it out.
Because I guarantee you, basically, you just have – let me – hypothetical, rocket launch, filming the people in the rocket. You'd have, like, 3 minutes of just them passed out.
Yeah, so
because most people, well, that's the thing is most people are not going to be able to actually take space flight. Most people don't withstand that type of acceleration. I've talked about that before, actually.
No,
it's very tough.
You have, but to Jill's point, let's say, all right, these guys are going to be incapacitated.
But then they'll eventually...
But how come it's not like, well, we've got two scientists and a...
Oh, and then a bunch of regular people?
No, I'm saying like one. Because I know, I mean, every single thing costs weight and fuel. And I know that.
We've talked about
but
that.
But why not, like, you've got your two scientists and your and Homer Lance Simpson Bass. Character. Okay, yours is way worse. but why not? And then
there was
say,
a reason I...
So we're going to see how, you know, Ernest Goes to Space works out. And then...
Was that an... Anyway.
And I feel like you could also then get more studies in on that person because they're probably they're not watching. I would assume their nutrition as much as astronauts are in preparation for
sure.
Space
well,
and
what
all
if
that
it goes
kind
wrong?
Of
well,
that's and I was going to say
then you're
that's,
in trouble.
There's a very 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 slim margin for error, right? Because there's so many sensitive things. The last thing you want is
I found a matchstick. I'm gonna go ahead and open a window, throw it out,
or you know somebody not using the space toilet correctly, or somebody vomiting. And just having chunks flying around.
Or somebody
you.
Who's not, like Jill said, physically whatever. Maybe they're weakened by the trip and they go into a coma.
And now you're stuck up there with somebody who's... I mean, okay, well, we learned something,
well,
right?
They sign a release, though. Like, yeah, that one's dead. And yeah. Now we know he got a dead
they
one.
Sign.
I mean, of course. But, like, there's so many things that can go wrong having a non-strapped-in, non-isolated cadaver floating around your space station.
You're such a bummer.
So then what's the plan? Is that we get to a point where we have these giant shuttles that shove people in a little...
I don't think people are really
be like,
researching. I don't think people are researching mass exodus.
You're never
going to
do the cryo suspension. That's not a thing,
right? No, but even short term, people aren't really investigating large scale, huge groups of people at once going into space.
No, that's way too expensive and way too energy inefficient right now. We can't manage that.
We're going to send them, but it seems to me that I wonder if in even our lifetime it'd be like here is how you get a school bus worth
of people.
Beyond the exosphere.
I was just talking to one of my students about this, and I said, I think in your lifetime, but maybe not mine, I think you'll see the setup of a Mars colony starting up because we're going to have to send supplies first for people before they get there because you can't take it all with you. And right. I think we might get remote setup, remote buildings, remote, you know, stuff going on in Mars. Okay. You know, I think, but Jill's right. I mean, it would be interesting to send just regular average Joes, but I think there are way too many problems with having someone. And just imagine the guy who realizes all of a sudden when he's up there that it's a whole different level of claustrophobia when you're just trapped.
Where? When you're like, trapped where?
In a capsule.
Where?
Isolated away from the planet.
Where's
and you
this
can't
capsule?
Possibly get out.
Where
That's
is
what
it
drugs
located?
Are for, Phil.
That's, well, that is true.
Where's the capsule?
In special cases, you might be able to send some people, but I don't think it's why. And I think mostly the reason we don't just shoot people up in space.
Thank you, Jesus.
If ever there was an episode,
I have a list of words and phrases that I was going from to torture him. I love you. I really do.
Jeez. All right, we'll be right back with Act 3.
That's all you invited me over for.
I gotta smoke a cigarette after that.
It's mostly the damage control question.
Okay.
But if we are gonna colonize, there will need to be some kind of preparation training because there's all kinds of different stresses. But that's why we're sending guys like Scott into space and leaving his brother
Frankie
Mark on the ground.
Jimmy.
Who's also an astronaut. They're astronauts.
They're both astronauts, right? But
that overachieving family, that
my God.
The double dragons
of space flight.
Of space flight.
So, but that's why we're doing that, to see what the difference is, to see how it changes us. Because what a perfect study. Because if you go into space and I go into space, shit's going to get different, but we're very different humans. You got
very
identical.
Different.
Yeah. Got identical.
I don't see it.
Yeah. We're the ills. We look exactly the same.
You're the wonder ills. Yeah. Well, all right. May I transition us to what I was bringing to the table?
Yeah, what's your question?
Can I heavy this out a little bit?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Are you familiar with the research and the controversies?
Only because I read it this afternoon when you sent it to me.
Dr. Charles Murray from, I don't know, the 80s, I guess. But more recently, the guy out of Harvard was Dr. David Reich or Reich.
Yes.
I'm not sure. They've done some research that has generated controversies about... Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Subtle but important differences. I mean, some of them, these subtle differences in our genetics or our whatever, lead to what they're saying are sometimes substantial differences in ability, whether cognitive or physical, between population groups often talked about in terms of ethnicity, although they also talk about there are bigger differences within populations than between them, but still that there are some differences. Now, the reason I bring that up, and there's controversy surrounding it all the time, is that it seems to me to be at least possibly, they might be fully wrong and we find out later they're just wrong, right? If they aren't, it represents another of these instances where science seems to step forward and say, okay, I see your cultural values. Here is where there is incorrect information. Here are your values. Here is science to tell you that they are, at least in part, based in something incorrect, right? Because, and again, I want to preface this by saying there's no reason to think, and these researchers themselves are scientists and they're responsible enough to say, this might all end up being altered later by more research.
Which is part of science.
But they heavily vetted these things and have been doing this for a long time, and they say things. They're often based around, like, IQ scores. What they're talking about...
Which, by the way, we all know is a flawed test anyway.
I was going to say, I have my serious problems with that, too.
Yeah, it is. It's totally flawed.
Uh-oh.
You okay, Jill?
Jill's been hurt.
Is it another thing?
Okay. Do we need to do another?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Mine is 700 million.
Mine is E.
I got wrench. I got a poop emoji. But what they're discussing...
Smiley face over pie.
Separately,
what the hell is that?
Separately, these guys, and separate studies over the span, they're not working together.
Yes.
But they each were bringing up, okay, what we have here are population groups on Earth where there were tens of thousands of years where populations were isolated from one another long enough for evolution
to treat them differently to a point.
And then, you know, what we then see out of that is, okay, well, there are going to be some differences.
Yeah.
Maybe not as large as, you know, they don't have different pieces, but they are subtly different. And so in IQ tests, the findings indicated there are some ethnicities that fare better. And again, I'm picking my words carefully.
I am aware.
Because some of you can use this for evil.
You beat me to it.
Thank you. Exactly.
But there are differences in how people perform on these tests. Now, frankly, I would take these IQ tests, ball them up, and throw them out the window. That's just me.
Well,
my issue here is what happens, in your opinion, if science comes along and says your comfortable or your cultural bedrock is based in untruth?
So the cultural bedrock in this instance is, hey, we're all...
We are all equal. We are all capable, regardless of the color of your skin or the background you
have. If I may, the cultural bedrock is all humans are created equal, and this research is saying, but some humans are more equal than others.
Well, it has its place here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at people, even just IQ. Let me just say that. There's also this idea that the Olympics will show you certain countries, certain areas of Earth tend to do better in certain things.
Well, I would argue that then, and this is also, a part of it. Number one, science and fact are neither good nor bad. They simply are.
Right.
If you choose to use this scientific fact as it is now, as it may change, that there are genetic differences between ethnic groups to discriminate, then you are using a scientific understanding to be a fuckhead.
A.K.A. evil, but yes.
I was using the technical, technical term here.
Right.
Just to be clear. Now, whether or not these genetic differences are enough to account for the various differences we see, and your comment about the Olympics, I would argue, and many people would also, and I think rightly, that this is the case of, yes, there may be something in nature that predisposes X, Y, Z to A, B, C, but I'm going to have a hard time believing you are going to get a champion downhill skier from Malaysia where it's hot and humid and tropical and nobody's ever seen snow compared to Denmark.
Sure. And we're dealing with environment there, which is another
which
factor.
That's the thing. And I think that environment...
But now if we're talking about something like running... Again, I guess even beyond the studies themselves, right? Which, just as a caveat, lest anyone get upset at the whip around,
I didn't do the study.
We are all fully.
It's not my fault.
We are all fully cognizant that, like in the United States, there are serious cultural inequalities that have happened that would predispose predispose different populations to be treated better and fare better on tests. So what we're talking about is an issue as a concept.
And have more opportunities to do certain things, which goes to Jill's thing this episode.
But as far as you go, Phil, as a scientist, and we can go back to stem cells too.
Sure.
Science seems to be, and maybe I'm misinterpreting, but science has seemed to tell us, hey, if you're willing to use certain kinds of stem cells, say from like aborted material, you would be able,
or lab grown,
very likely, to make advances toward curing certain ailments, thus helping the quality of human life that's already extant. So when those things happen, because as far as I'm aware, in the United States, that's prohibited, is it not? Or is under restriction?
You can do things with
stem cells, but I'm talking like fetal stem cells.
What I was about to say was I may be wrong, but there is a time limit on which you can form an embryo and then pull from it, and I think it's like 14 days or something like that.
Okay.
Which was an arbitrarily arrived at number, by the way.
Well, I guess what I'm asking then is, do you believe that if science butts up against cultural values, sincerely held cultural values, should those cultural values give way to science? Or is there a time when you would concede, and I have no horse in this race, where you would concede, you know what, there are some times where science needs to either not say anything or be suppressed in favor of cultural value?
Well, I think that
I don't know that either
of them are primary. To me, science and fact are always primary. I think that as a culture, we need to adjust and not use a knowledge for evil. I mean, if you know, let me put it this way. I'll have to find this and put it in the notes, I guess. But it's a couple years back, they released the paper where they replicated, I think, smallpox or some other highly virulent eradicated disease, where they were able to form something in a lab. And they're like, well, do we want to publish this paper that shows how we
did this thing.
Right? And you know, that's the same kind of question, because at the same time, here we have this knowledge that, if our culture were perfect, we'd be like, okay, here's this knowledge. Go ahead, cash this. And when you need it to make a cure, you know how to do this. And then you can reverse engineer this. Mm-hmm. Of course, we live in a culture where people are monsters. And so, yes, we can release this knowledge, but maybe they're not ready for it. So there are times when we need that knowledge and we just have to face up, and culture has to deal with the fact that here's a fact. You have to deal with it. Unfortunately, cultures and humans are not that advanced. So do I think science needs to be careful? Yes. Do I think that they need to not publish what they find? No. And let me also say, by be careful, I mean not let it get published in a way that sensationalizes these things. That's the trick, right?
You can't to get hold that back, because you're going to have inevitably it's racists the hard part. Who look at those studies
I
and are
know.
Like, see, this is what we're saying. These people are different. They're made differently, so therefore we're better.
There's only an X and a Y in those genes.
Which is what Andrew Sullivan wrote in an article that I'll be connecting to this too, where he had said, if we hide these results, the racist
are going to find them anyway.
And they'll say, look what we found that they're trying to suppress, and then they twist it. And it's sensationalized.
Worse.
So, okay.
I think we need to be open about it. I just think we need to be, and this is just scientists in general and teachers in general, need to be way more clear about the way we explain what's going on. And I think that having discussions with your friends who are more expert in the field, I'm not saying I'm an expert in all the things we've talked about, but I've got a background in science. I think you need to find the people who are responsible around you, who have knowledge around you. Ask them. Ask your teachers. Ask anybody around you that you know that's in a field what they know.
Okay.
A wheat field. A field of gold.
Crop circles.
Sting knows everything.
Field, crop circles, aliens.
With big eyes.
Ancient aliens. Ancient aliens with big eyes. Put it all
coming
together.
Coming for Dave.
What do you get?
The deep dive.
A break. So we would also like to know, by the way, before we go into this break here, what scientific questions you out there have for Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Ask away. And, hey, if you have questions about literature and history and
no.
All kinds of pop culture. We've got a lot of expertise on the show. So
if you want to know about ancient aliens, I got you.
If you need to know how best to
avoid ancient aliens, ask Dave.
Yeah. And if you've got any questions about, I don't know, being a pedant, send them my way. and we'll be happy to help you. Thewhiparound@gmail.com. Also, of course, Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that you hear us showing up to brighten your life. Anyway, we will be back with Act 3. We've got, I guess, you know, one or two more tricks for you. And then, provided we haven't been abducted, we'll be right back.
Nope, not abducted.
Yep, no.
Hi, this is Dave from the Whip Around. You know what I love? A hot, steaming cup of coffee. But you know what I love more? Stars. So be sure to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so more people can find the Whip Around. Thanks again.
Yeah, I'm ready to go to sleep.
And that's how you come back.
Act 3 has begun. Ladies, gentlemen, and others, pets that are listening while your owner is in the bathroom, we are all here.
I like
we are
that
prepared.
Image.
And there is only one thing we want to do before we get to 3 for the road, and that is remind you about these contests. Plural, contest, giveaways, hashtag prizes for all of you. Phil's going to take it first, remind you all about the contest we have going that involves a certain poster.
Tyler Martis, awesome Warriors poster from our buddies over at Sex and Violence podcast. What you need to do to get entered to that is to go over to the Sex and Violence podcast page on iTunes, review them, come over to our page, review us, you're in.
That means review with words.
Yes.
Just rate and review.
Or and, emojis. Whatever.
And you have until Sunday night the
15th. So,
okay, I can't. Right. I
go, Sunday.
The
15th.
And you have until Sunday the 15th to enter.
That was worth every penny just now.
I figured you just cut the crap.
I know what you figured.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget, we've got Ward Van Hout, the curator director of the Bethlehem House Art Gallery, who was here. He's our once and future guest, who was here just the other week, who
title.
Laid out a bunch of trivia questions for you, and he is going to be revealing winners for those trivia questions. He said one winner per question, so try to get in there and answer as many as you can so that you can be one of the people who got one right. Each winner selected will get $25 gift card to Bethlehem House Art Gallery, and I'm going to list the questions for you here for one last time. You've got to get those in again by this Sunday, let's say midnight, in order to be considered, all right? So listen closely and send your answers to thewhiparound@gmail.com. Their laughing is making me laugh, so just don't think I'm laughing at my own joke.
In space!
I totally wouldn't. You fucker. Here we go. So these are the questions you got to answer. You can answer just one if you want, but try to get them all. Increase your chances of winning a card.
And go to the damn gallery.
Yeah, check it out. Check out the damn
gallery.
It's
really awesome, actually.
Number one, what ornamental feature is built into the architecture of the building on either side of the front door at the gallery itself? What ornamental feature built into the architecture of the building on either side of the front door? Number two, how many exhibit rooms does the gallery boast, including the lobby? How many exhibit rooms does the gallery boast, including that lobby? Number three, what clue to the original intent of the building is built into the gallery's basement? Is it A, a bank vault, B, a crematorium, or C, a kitchen? Number four, how many printmakers were featured in the most recent juried show that ended on April 7th? That's going to be a tricky one if you weren't at the gallery, so get out those DeLoreans. Again, how many printmakers were featured in the most recent juried show that ended on April 7th? Number five, how many artists were featured in the very first show, the inaugural show, at the Bethlehem Gallery? How many artists featured in the very first show at the Bethlehem Gallery? And a bonus! Another whole gift card available. Somebody can name two of the artists that were featured, okay? And also, in order to be potentially winning yourself a rare, it's kind of cool, Bethlehem House Art Gallery pint glass, ask an art-related question to Ward via our email or our social media, and he will answer it on air, and you will know if you hear your question and have that question answered that you, sir, ma'am, or...
guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
Or pet, who is now twitching at the sound of my voice. You have won yourself a pint glass. Okay? Verstay? Verstay. Now I think it is time for 3 for the road. Are we prepared? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I'll close this one out.
Okay, that means you will go first.
That means I will go last.
That means you will go.
Means you will go first. I will go, Sean.
I'll go first.
Then me.
I don't know geometry. I don't know how it works.
It's a triangle. There's
three of us.
Guess
that would be trigonometry. No. I didn't take trigonometry.
That's fine.
Algebra.
or like
calculus.
Kindergarten.
I don't know.
Solve for X. All right.
Ready?
So, again, this is the time when we talk about everything we didn't have time to talk about during the show. 30 seconds apiece. When the 30 seconds have elapsed, you will hear something that sounds a lot like this. He almost missed.
Ooh, it's delicate.
And then
and you know what? There's nothing fucking wrong with that.
He's developed.
I didn't say there was.
He's developed a soft touch and a sharp tongue. So we're ready. So on your mark, get set. Sean! Justice! Justice, kind of. Rebecca Zahow, a young lady found hanged in her billionaire boyfriend's mansion, hands and feet bound behind her. Cryptic message painted on the door behind her has been declared a suicide, but a civil court has found her boyfriend's brother responsible for her death. It's a fascinating case, you guys. Rebecca Zahow, I'm desperate to talk about it more on the show. You will hear me talk about this. I'm going to make him let me. So look it up. Check it out for yourself. You're going to be hearing me talk about it. You're going to want to hear it and participate. Rebecca Zahow. She will be avenged in some way. She was murdered. You'll see. Fascinating story. True crime.
So apparently that Trump Tower fire that happened this week and that poor gentleman who died in it. Part of the problem was that there were no sprinklers because even though it was built before they were required, they decided it was too expensive to install them later. And it just reminds me of the Grenfell Tower tragedy that happened, and I'm so sick of these wealthy people who own these buildings who say, it's too much money to make people safe. I don't care if you die. You are shameful, and you need to put those things in there. It just makes me sick.
He did. Was it on Fifth Avenue?
Yeah.
So he did kill someone on Fifth Avenue. Just saying. He said he would do it.
Department of Corrections, as far as I'm concerned. Episode 24, the last episode. Dave, it's not aliens. Sean, it is spiders. Also, if you were talking about aversion therapy, you should have gone back and shown yourselves the first picture again to see if it registered any better after exposing yourself to worse stuff.
It wasn't aversion therapy.
Well, whatever it was. Episode 23, Indeed. Ward, you have way too smooth a voice. With a beard like that, I expected something more gravelly. And also, Jill, so long as you're sitting right here, it was Bat-Toosie Buddies, referencing the old Burt Ward and Adam West Batman.
Said Bat-Toosie. I could have sworn it. Something is going on with Debbie Harry and iTunes. It's worse than when HBO apparently decided the Crocodile Dundee 2 was something that was worth talking about every day, all day, all the time. Anytime I go to a station on iTunes Radio, anytime, doesn't matter what it is, eventually Blondie or Debbie Harry will show up. And I think that something is going on here. Is it an algorithm or is iTunes secretly run by Debbie Harry and her pop disco agenda? I know I'm not done with my time yet, but just think about that for a second. Debbie Harry has taken over the music industry. Think about it.
Okay, so the other night I decided to finally rent Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and I gotta tell you, it is amazing. Well, because it's been out for a while, and I feel like people talked about it, and it's really fun. Like, it's super, super fun, and I definitely recommend it. And it's a neat take on the, like, teen
board game movie industry.
Well, yeah, it's a little, no, cause it's a little like Breakfast Club, and, like, it's these misfits, and then through this experience, they discover who they really are.
Battleship, that's another one.
And it's got The Rock.
That is the bonus. Episode 22, Own Your Shit. You're damn right, Dave, and I'm tired of students not owning their shit, and I'm tired of teachers not holding them to it. We have standards. Hold them to it, okay? Please do. If you didn't make the grade, you failed. You have to be held back. Stop sending me unprepared students. Also, episode 21, The Rogue Diplomats. How did you miss this? How did you miss the chance to ruin a holiday based on the Trail of Tears by having a 5K and color fun run? Come on!
I can't believe nobody brought up 9/11. I was in an L.A. Beast video. I was in, and still I'm in, an L.A. Beast video on YouTube after he pranked his fans with an April Fool's Day trick about, oh, I'm going to Greece, the World Championship lemon eating competition. And a lot of us were like, oh, okay, I guess that's weird, but it could be. No, it wasn't. He was pranking us, and then a bunch of us were like, hey, well, now you got to do something. And he's a really nice guy, so he felt guilty. So he did a video where he was like, I'm going to set the record for eating 10 lemons as fast as a human can do. And during the video, he was posting people's tweets at him that were saying, what's up, man? Why'd you trick us? One of them was me just saying, well, now you got to do something with sour stuff. And I'm in his video. Check it out. The lemon video. I'm famous. Okay. LA Beast.
Shut up. So apparently now on cable networks like FX and I think USA and TNT and AMC, you can now use foul language. And I mean like full on the F word. So, and I don't mean just like late at night. I mean like Deadpool was on the other night at 7:30 p.m. and nothing censored. And that makes me sad because I feel like kids now are going to grow up and they're not going to know the joy of having to get rid of these mother-loving snakes on these mother-loving planes.
It was monkey fighting snakes on monkey fighting planes, if I remember. Okay, so this little thing has been called Phil's Hidden Addenda. I know I'm not on the show regularly during the semester, but I want to let you know that I'm actually going to be checking in. We're going to get busy on social media, and I'm going to get busy on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Busy on socialmedia.com.
Heart of Glass.
What?
Isn't that... Is that shit? Is that the Blondie song?
So yes, look for Phil's Hidden Addenda the day after we post the show, because I always listen on the day it comes out, as I hope you do too, and tell your friends. So look for my post on Facebook, because I will be doing what I just did, because I can't hold it in anymore, because you guys miss shit and I got to correct it, because that's what I do.
Which is interesting. You'd have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of our episodes to go like, oh, yes, I remember episode 22. I believe that was the 52-minute mark.
Well, yeah, I didn't give those. I mean, you know, well, at least Phil, I told you what it was.
When Phil is doing this on Facebook and on social media in general, you can look forward to him being able to sort of even link you to something, show you what he's talking about. Maybe we could even coerce Phil at some point into doing sort of a short video segments where he's covering our... I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, it makes me feel like Phil rage listens to the episodes that he's not on.
He's got, like, fist imprints in the ceiling.
Of my car.
That's when nobody decided to do a holiday out of 9/11. I don't know why they didn't get there at Impact. You know what? And that game could have gone... I had to cut parts of that game.
I'm sure you did.
Got cut out. It was. I know. It was
painful. It was fun.
If I may,
yes.
By that point, I think everybody was starting to get punch drunk from... There was beers.
Oh, that's
I was, like, taking, like, all kinds of Sudafed, and I was just, like... I don't remember recording the episode. So
I was listening to that, and I'm like, come on, 5K. 5K. How? Oh, guys.
So if you're
out
there...
Love your music, by the way.
If you're out there and you enjoy the whip around and you find yourself shouting back, rage listening, or otherwise, reach out. Let us know what your thoughts are on any of this. If you agree with us, great. Back it up. You know, back us up. Reinforce us and our crazy opinions. If you don't agree, let us know. Like, no, I see it this way, or I would have said this, or I would have done that, or that's whatever, whatever. I enjoy Debbie Harry no matter how many times she comes at me, so I know that you're one of them. But reach out to us and let us know. TheWhipAround@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Rate us on iTunes. Leave a review. Let us know what you like, and I guarantee it, if you start telling us what you want to hear, you might actually get us talking about what you want to hear. So that's about it for the show. It has been illuminating. It has been interesting. It has been hair-raising at times. It has been...
I don't have hair.
Scientific? Scientific?
Close enough.
Huh? Scientific? It's not really scientific, because we don't do that here. But we're going to sign off
the
now.
The one thing the show wasn't? It's space!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll give you one more for the road.
I thought you were going to say short. But
sure. Well, there's that, too.
Well, everybody's a critic when they're on the whip around. and then next week, you can look forward to Ward being on the show again. We got Ward Van Hout.
And all the announcements of the winners.
That is correct. All kinds of winners. We have even more exciting guests to talk about that are coming up after that. So, yes. From me, Sean, from Phil, from Woo. Jill, from Hi. Dave in absentia, we all wish you wonderful times until next week. And think about this, listener. We love you. Bye.
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 Your friends,
family,
and future generations are counting on you
to make smart podcasting decisions.
Thank you.